I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. When Richard Gordon was evolving the acclaimed quantum touch healing technique that today is practiced by 1,400 certified practitioners around the globe in 50 countries, doctors were saying it was not possible to permanently align the occipital bone at the base of the skull and pelvis torsion. Twisted hips where one is higher than the other, let alone do it without manipulating the patient. Yet it became readily apparent that Gordon's quantum touch methodology can do just that. Now that easy to learn, seemingly miraculous correction has opened an astonishing doorway on the nature of matter. Gordon demonstrated he could pass the healing energy from person to person or from object to object. Using a series of simple experiments that anyone can do, he followed the directions in his newest book, The Secret Nature of Matter. Richard Gordon is considered a pioneer in the field of energy medicine. With more than 40 years of experience, he is the author of 4 best-selling books, now published in 17 languages. Gordon attended the Christian School of Natural Medicine, has been on the faculty at Hartwood Institute and the Holistic Health Institute, with certified practitioners of his work in over 50 countries. Richard's work was praised by Dr. C. Norman Shealy, founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association, as the first technique that may truly allow us all to become healers. Richard is the best-selling author of Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, now published in 17 languages, and Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience, available in 10 languages. More information is available at www.quantumtouch.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Richard, and I look forward to hearing about energy medicine and quantum touch. Now, first, in your book, The Secret Nature of Matter, you discuss a link between mind and matter. Can you tell us how you discovered this?
It was actually about a 40-year process from discovering the existence of what people call the life force energy. I wrote about that in my first book called Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience, to meeting an extraordinary healer who told tall tales, but he actually could back it up. And he demonstrated not only could he bring down pain and inflammation quickly, but he could align people's posture with a light touch. I apprenticed with him, took over in his retirement, and about 20 years later, I wrote a book called Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, which is in 17 languages with certified practitioners in over 50 countries. And then about 9 or 10 years ago, I discovered that I could actually cause postural alignment without even touching people. And then 2 years ago, I discovered that I could put that same energy intention into physical matter. And if I hand it to an untrained person who knows nothing about my work, if they touch somebody with what I'll call a charged object and have the intention of causing the alignment, even though they know nothing of my work, it'll instantly cause the hips to untwist and the cranial bones, especially the occiput, where you can actually measure if one side's high, to align spontaneously. And this was just the beginning of a whole series of discoveries with profound implications.
Sounds great. Then what is conscious entanglement?
Wow. Conscious entanglement was, I think, I ran 57 experiments in my latest book, and I think it was like experiment 38, it was revealed to me that you can group objects together in your mind. And when you group the objects together in your mind, anything you do to any one of the objects happens to all of them. And the way I tested this out was I borrowed a handful of change because I didn't want to use anything I'd had any contact with previously. And I just stared at the coins. And I said, I see pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. I see all the coins in my hand. They're all here. I see them all. And that was the extent of my thought. I wasn't trying to do anything with these coins except join them together in my consciousness. I put them on a table. I reached in my pocket, pulled out a penny I had meditated upon. I tapped, just a slight tap of one of the coins on the table. Both of the women were holding one of the coins. I handed each of them one before I did this. I touched one of the coins on the table and both women became aligned spontaneously. Now, no one has the ability to spontaneously untwist their hip, usually called the long leg or twisted hips or pelvic torsion. No one has the ability while standing still and balanced to untwist themselves, and especially not the cranial bones, which are considered fused. But anybody with 2 minutes of training can easily evaluate somebody who's off by a long way in a few seconds. So it's a very easy empirical test to see two things considered physiologically impossible.
Then, Richard, can you tell us some more of your experiment?
Oh, yeah. What I did was, it started on Thanksgiving 2 years ago. And my friend Daniel said, he was one of my students, and he said, I discovered that if you make a movie of yourself doing a healing session, other people watching it will experience healing. Well, I wouldn't know how to test that. I mean, somebody says they have a headache and maybe they're being nice or maybe the headache really went away. But I did remember that I know how to untwist the hips and occiput. And just as a refresher, 99% of the people interested in my work are interested in pain reduction, reduction of inflammation, the healing, accelerating healing. So my talking about the hips is just my real fascination with the implications and what this all means and new human abilities. So he told me this. I made a movie, a little selfie movie of myself meditating to cause pelvic and occipital alignment. I call it SPA, spontaneous postural alignment. So I showed people the movie and it worked. And I was just astounded. So I made a screenshot of the movie and I showed people the screenshot and that worked. I printed a picture of the screenshot and on my printer and took out the color and that worked. And then I was sitting in a coffee shop one day and I happened to have a golf tee in my pocket, in my sweater, because I played golf in the morning. And I thought, what if I meditate on this object? And I meditated on the golf tee and handed it to somebody and that worked. And by then I was amazed. So I started keeping a journal of all my experiments because I knew I was on a journey. It worked on glass, paper, water, pebbles, metal, cigarette butts, leaf, every kind of material, which led me to one of my conclusions of many, was that all matter is made of subatomic God stuff. It's a very technical term, but everything is made of consciousness, made of the energy and essence of the all that is. And it's all able to store energy and intention. So I tried boiling water. Could I get rid of the consciousness in water? If I meditated on water, somebody looked at it or drank it, they could actually be aligned. What if I boil the water? Will that get rid of the thought form? No, it did not. When the water cooled, it still held the energy and tension. But the water that had evaporated on the lid of the pot, I gathered it in a little container. And when I handed it to people, it didn't work at all. I did experiments where I diluted water. I think one experiment, I had six bottles, took a couple drops from one bottle to the next, till it was diluted about 7 trillion fold. And it worked perfectly well, which led me to an understanding that perhaps one of the great mysteries behind homeopathy isn't the dilution, it's the energy and intention that the practitioner is putting into it through the palpation and pounding the bottles. They're actually doing the work. And the more they do it, the stronger it seems to be. But they think it's the dilution. But they are the solution, not the object itself. I ran so many experiments an early experiment that I did was one of the primary experiments. Am I fooling myself? So I had a friend who had a massage chair at a Whole Foods. So I go in there and hand him a charged quarter and he puts it on a shelf. People come in. I measure them. I walk around the corner for 30 seconds. I come back and try to guess whether he had handed them the quarter or not. And it took me about 1.5 seconds to determine yes or no. Mm-hmm. If they're still misaligned, it's a no. And if they're totally aligned, it's a yes. I got it right 12 times in a row. So I figured, okay, I don't have to do this anymore. I am not fooling myself. Then it was just this cascade of different experiments, find out how this worked. In one experiment, I had laid out 12 pennies behind a woman mm-hmm. on a table, and they were about 4 to 5 inches apart. And I meditated on penny number one that was right behind her. And I then measured her again to make sure I hadn't accidentally aligned her through meditating on the penny, and I had not. Then I handed her penny 12, which was 4 feet away, and she was instantly aligned, and I got really upset. Because no, it's not supposed to work that way. Why would penny 12 be charged when I only meditated on penny number one? Mm-hmm. And my first thought was maybe it moved across all the pennies like fire moves across gasoline. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, but if that's true, the table would be charged, the walls, the floors, everybody in the coffee shop, in fact, everybody on the planet. So I threw out that idea and came up with a concept of conscious entanglement, that when I was the one who put all 12 pennies down, I had joined them all together in my mind. And by doing so, then the next day I ran that experiment that I previously described, where I handed two women a coin after I had meditated upon them and just tapped one of the coins, and both women came aligned. Mm-hmm. After I did that experiment, I had to do the opposite experiment and find out if I could prove it, you know, in reverse. So what I did was I met a woman I had known, and she was very misaligned. She put her change down on the table, picked up one of the coins. I tapped the coin on the table, and it did nothing because we had not entangled coins together. Oh. So then that led me to doing something that I'm so excited about, created an entangled talisman, so to speak. We call it the quantum touch pendant. So I created a beautiful pendant, I had it manufactured, and once I got them, I joined them all together in my mind very, very strongly, and then I put my best healing energy into the pendant, and I also put in the energy information of aligning pelvic and occipital torsion. Sent one off as a gift to my top 50 instructors around the world, and they got so excited before we realized that we'd sold out all 1,000 of them. Mm. And now we've had them in the hands of about 5,000 people. But here's the exciting thing. When any of our practitioners or instructors or friends put their best healing energy, their gratitude, their love, their connection to source, however they do it, mm-hmm. into their own pendant, they're affecting every other pendant in the world because mm-hmm. they're all entangled together. Mm-hmm. So now we're hearing extraordinary stories about people utilizing their pendants to good end.
So you're really using a holistic approach, and you're including a lot of spirituality in your healing, and I think that is fantastic.
What we're seeing, and this was kind of a recent insight mm-hmm. into the whole picture, but I've seen three pathways body has for extraordinary self-healing. The first pathway everybody's familiar with, called placebo effect. Mm-hmm. And the subtext of the placebo effect is the body has an extraordinary self-healing mechanism that can be triggered under certain circumstances. In this case, belief, deception, and dishonesty. But the exciting part is the body does have this mechanism for extraordinary self-healing. Mm-hmm. The second mechanism that can trigger extraordinary self-healing is energy healing, like quantum touch. Mm-hmm. So we recently conducted a clinical experiment that's been published in a peer-reviewed journal, and we had 41 people with super high levels of pain, mostly from fibromyalgia, arthritis, or from accident. They received a single quantum touch session, and the pain went down 7.4%. But even more exciting than that, of the 41 people, they had 50 pain conditions. 100% of the pain conditions responded and went down. Wow. In that session. Placebos work about a third of the time mm-hmm. when they're doing well. This was 100%. But there's a third mechanism that triggers extraordinary self-healing. And that is a modality that took me 29 plus years to figure out. Mm-hmm. And I call it self-created health. And what it does is it helps people find and release and move through the emotional causes why they've attracted or allowed the condition. Mm-hmm. So the suppressed emotion is the most extraordinary one, because even though quantum touch is amazing, it is often only analgesic. Mm-hmm. It'll relieve pain, and it can speed the body's healing process. But sometimes that isn't enough. You mm-hmm. need to go much deeper than that. And what I found is when the energy healing is not the sufficient answer for the problem, we go help people discover the emotional cause, release the intensity of the emotions, then feel the remorse for having hurt themselves by holding on to this pain for so long, and then go through the forgiveness process, mm-hmm. which turns into explosive, overwhelming self-love you can't even contain. And then, oh, by the way, the condition disappeared, and the people feel incredibly grateful for having had the condition, mm-hmm. which showed that the body had the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but a communication from their own higher consciousness.
Did you know, Richard, that 70% of cancer patients have a forgiveness problem?
And I wouldn't doubt it.
And that clinics, some are beginning to deal with this through group effort?
I didn't know this. This is exciting. Mm-hmm. Except I would go two steps further. I would say first they need to know what they've been pissed about, what they're really angry about and hurt about and shamed about and felt guilt about. That's the first step. And I know how to do that. It takes anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, about 85 or 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I'd have them do is some very powerful, intense emotional release work around that suffering that they've been holding on to all these years. Then mm-hmm. I would have them spend 5 to 10 minutes on depth of remorse, because that's the real linchpin before the forgiveness. Because it's hard to forgive if you don't know what you're forgiving exactly. And if you haven't felt how much you've damaged yourself, that's the real forgiveness is not the other person. And this is a big misunderstanding, because maybe what they did was unforgivable, but what you did to yourself,
right,
maybe
right.
even worse.
Right.
Yeah. Dad beat me up, but I've been beating myself up ever since. And I mm-hmm. beat up the people I love. That's the unforgivable part. Yeah. Dad was a jerk. He was beaten up too. I can understand how he could be that way. But what I did to me and the people I love, that's more unforgivable than what Dad did. And so the forgiveness really has to be self-forgiveness, which is essentially taking back fire. It's a real Promethean thing to do,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, according to the old text, only God can forgive you.
Right.
But no, we need to forgive ourselves.
Well, slowly the cancer doctors are beginning to include more of the holistic approach, including a mental, spiritual aspects. I know Dr. Esslinger at the Reno Clinic in Nevada does a lot with emotional release and all as part of his cancer protocol. And I had lung cancer 43 years ago and was
wow.
given 6 months to live with chemo and surgery. So I refused it and I used an all-natural holistic approach. But the doctor told me all of the physical things to do, but he didn't mention gratitude,
right.
forgiveness, prayer, faith, optimism, being positive, serving others, etc. And I did all of those myself because of my interest in work with the Edgar Cayce material. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Edgar Cayce?
Of course.
Oh, and so I added all of that, and I have since seen the value of using that holistic approach. Now, I had one more question that popped up when you were talking, and that
sure.
was, do you think that in the physical realm, that when you use energy, that decreases the inflammation in the body, which is a major factor in illnesses?
We've seen this hundreds of times where we're bringing down the inflammatory process. I did a clinical study at the University of California, Santa Cruz on
mm-hmm.
the men's basketball team. And on a few of the cases, people had massively sprained ankles. And you could actually see it going down
mm-hmm.
maybe 75, 80% in about an hour, hour and a quarter. I'd have to beg them to take the ice off so I could do the work. And so, yeah, there's no question we bring down inflammation. In fact, one of the goals that I have
mm-hmm.
would be to create a new X Prize. If anybody knows how to get in touch with Peter Diamandis, I really want to talk with him. But I want them to create a new X Prize, and I want to compete for it. I might have the best solution, I might not. But what I'd like to do is to create an X Prize to keep people from becoming addicted to opiates. And
mm-hmm.
the very simple solution is quantum touch,
mm-hmm.
because it brings down pain so effectively and so quickly. And even if it's only analgesic, so they get a couple sessions a day and or three sessions a day, it doesn't really matter. It's fast, it's inexpensive, and there's no side effects and it's not addictive. So it would be a really good solution. And we had one nurse doing post-surgical care and doing quantum touch. And the doctor came up to her and said, you have to stop doing that in this hospital. And she said, why? He said, well, we can no longer predict how much pain medication to give the patients. And I guess, well, their priority was to sell pain medication.
Right, right.
Not to make patients feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a real breakthrough.
Right.
And oh, by the way, I'd love to be in touch with the doctor doing that cancer work. And I'd love to do a clinical study with a group of the patients where they learn how to find the emotional causes, release, go through this forgiveness process. And I think they'll see even a faster and better result because we tap people in right away to what the issue is and have some very powerful release and forgiveness techniques.
Great. Good. Another thing that that came up when you were talking, and that was, it sounds like when you mentioned the nurse, that everyone can do this. It's not just something that you can do. Is that correct?
We have no magical attunements or symbols or woo-woo. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're using simple breathing and body awareness exercise to lift our own life force energy. The life force has been called chi or ki or prana. Mm-hmm. This is the animating current of life, and we're able to raise ourselves up. We like to say the definition of a healer is someone who is sick and got well, and a great healer is someone very sick who got well quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't claim heal anybody of anything. All we're doing is lifting our own vibration, creating a field of energy around the affected area, allowing the resonance and entrainment to have the other person's energy match your energy, and then their body and spiritual intelligence do whatever healing their body deems necessary to cause this to occur.
That was another question that I had was, when you do energy healing, does it raise the vibratory rate of the client?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing is, if a practitioner ever becomes drained, they really don't have any skill whatsoever, because the skill of a practitioner in doing energy healing work is to raise their own energy field higher and higher and higher throughout the session.
Mm-hmm.
Physician Dr. Jerry Pittman wrote that in its elegance, quantum touch first provides healing for the practitioner. And that's very well put, because you see these Hollywood movies, Paul, the Green Mile, and so forth, where the healer has to sacrifice self to help somebody else and they nearly die. Or it's just Hollywood. Or a person who has no training or training that doesn't really do anything. Because if you don't know how to use the breathing and body awareness exercises, or if you drop out of gratitude and joy while you're doing a session, you can match the vibration of the person. You can feel very tired or drained. And you see this often, like in massage practitioners. We're touching people all day long. They're picking up the energy. They're matching vibration with the person they're working on, and they get burned out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know how to lift your energy up, you're going to have to come down and match them. So we continually lift ourselves up during the session, and the other person simply comes up to match us.
Mm-hmm.
I showed this to Dr. Norman Shealy, the founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association. And he said, I don't have to do double blinds on everything I test. I just have to make the test so rigorous I can't believe anything but the outcome. And after doing like these miracle little sessions on his staff, what we did was we gave 1 hour group quantum touch sessions to his most difficult chronic pain patients with 20, 30, 40 years constant pain, who had never been helped by any traditional or alternative therapy. So I had a group of us, I think we were 5 of us working on each person, and a 1 hour session produced between a 30 and 70% lasting pain reduction. So 2 weeks later, he calls me and said, Richard, this is remarkable. Every one of the patients has lasting relief. And then he tested me to see if I could affect other people's EEG at a distance. So somebody lays down on a table, they do a half an hour baseline, and then I get a tap on the shoulder and nod of the head, and I start running energy like 20 feet away to the person. And when I say running energy, it's my breathing and body awareness, and I'm sending the energy to them. The person's brain waves went down so low at 5 minutes, Norm said, had I just seen this one frame, I might have thought the person was brain dead. He was a neurosurgeon in his early training and before he got into holistics. He said, Richard, you're a world-class healer. I said, no, this is a basic human skill. Everybody can do this. 2 weeks later, he calls me up and said, oh my God, everybody you trained can affect DEG at a distance. And I said, oh, what a coincidence. Your whole staff are world-class healers. He said, okay, don't rub it in. But the point is, is this is a basic human skill that everybody can learn and utilize. And maybe most people think, oh, well, I don't want to learn this because I don't want to become an energy practitioner. And I say, good, don't become an energy practitioner. But 5 days of the year, this is the most valuable thing you can know. Because when a loved one is suffering, or you can work on yourself too, you want to know this skill so you can help alleviate their suffering.
Dr. Shealy wrote the foreword or an endorsement for one of my books. I can't remember which it was, but I've known him for a while.
He's a great man.
Right. You talked about, when you talk about putting energy, raising the vibrations and all, I have a beamer. I don't know if you know what the beamer is, but it's a machine invented in Germany, and it uses electromagnetic waves, and it increases the energy at the oxygen at the cellular levels. And I had a eye doctor that I have interviewed in the past, and he told me that he used to do this, but he was concerned about all of the energy in the body. Now, you do this, and so when you put energy and intent into an object, how is that removed or erased? Does it just eventually disappear, or do you have to do something to get it back out? Or
it's really too early for me to know, because I only did testing on this for 2 years. And so far, I don't see it changing. Now, when we meditate on the sphenoid bone behind the nose and eyes, give it a little turn, we cause the pelvic and occipital alignment simultaneously. And I wrote about this whole process and a series of what I call new human abilities in my third book, Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human. And we see those alignments lasting, you know, 8-10 years later on most of the people, but not everybody. It's not 100%, but most of the time they will continue holding that alignment. So that's very exciting stuff. But as far as I can tell so far, once the energy intention is in an object, it remains in that object indefinitely. But, you know, maybe in 100 years it evaporates out or something. But I don't have any way of evaluating that yet.
Are you familiar with earthing or energy mat? Pull some of the energy out, or is that
okay? These are some of the experiments that I did. I did maybe 12 experiments to see if I could erase the energy from an object. I tried, like I took a washer and I put the energy in the washer, and then I smashed it with a hammer, big hammer, until it was just mashed and unrecognizable. Still worked. I tried baking penny that was charged. That still held the energy. I tried putting it in boiling water. That didn't change anything. There was almost no way of getting rid of it. But if I took paper that was charged and burned the paper, it took out the information. If I boiled the water and had the evaporated water, that took out the information. If I meditated on a candle, the flame did not hold the information, nor did the smoke coming off the candle. So generally speaking, if you take the object and change its state, that usually erases the information. However, to contradict myself, water to ice lost the information, but ice to water maintained the information. Now, I have no explanation for this at all, except this is how it worked. And so maybe somebody smarter than me will figure it out.
Or maybe you'll figure it out eventually.
Or maybe not. I mean, I feel like I found a little keyhole with which to perceive the intersection of matter and consciousness. And I've made it outside as far as the mailbox, but I leave it smarter and better testers than me to really proceed. In fact, speaking of which, I just came up with one of my life goals recently. And I feel, you know, I listened to Peter Diamandis talking about having a monumental transformative purpose. And this is one of my MTPs, as he calls them. I would like to state that by 2040, I would like to see this researched at every university, practiced in every hospital, and taught in every school. This is essential human knowledge that everybody should have access to, and we really need to spend tens of millions of dollars researching it, find out all the implications and transformative qualities of this and all the applications of it, when it's most useful, when it's not that helpful, and how far we can go with it. Because one experiment I plan to do relatively soon is to work with people in intensive care. and have practitioners giving them sessions, maybe 24/7 or near 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to look like Star Trek science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we just work on like a dozen people, it's going to be so dramatic
mm-hmm.
and out of the ordinary.
Well, I think your comment about opioids is important because my friend who is a nurse practitioner, I had a grant for almost $1 million to provide primary care for homeless and low income in the 90s. And she was my nurse practitioner and one of the most caring nurses that I have ever known. And
yes.
She said that this is a major problem on the eastern shore of Virginia where she worked. And she says it's becoming a national problem.
Yes.
So something.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
Yeah. Then, Richard, can you tell us some of the principles of energy work?
Yeah. Yeah. The essential principles is resonance and entrainment of life force energy. That what we're doing is we're holding a high vibration of energy, letting the other person's body match your vibration, and letting the spiritual and body intelligence decide how that energy is best utilized. I don't know how to heal a paper cut on my own finger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about how my cells are actually functioning, but I do know that they're responding energetically to my beliefs, my moods, my emotions. All of this is affecting us physiologically.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is simply raising the vibration of the practitioner and the person getting worked on to allow their own body to heal itself more rapidly. And that's the essence of what quantum touch is, a simple way for people to raise their own energy higher and higher to help accelerate that healing process.
Good. Then I wanted to ask you how this is different than Reiki or therapeutic touch. I took therapeutic touch many years
yeah.
ago with Dolores Krieger at NYU.
I remember her.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yes.
And they always called her Crazy Krieger, I think
I know.
It was. But I took her courses, and I had a lot of success with it. And so I'm wondering how this is different, because I see the difference with Reiki from the therapeutic touch, because I know people.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with therapeutic touch, but I think they're have the hands above patients and trying to find areas where,
mm-hmm.
We don't do any scanning
mm-hmm.
with this work.
Oh.
We're using a very complex technique called the where does it hurt technique. You ask them where it hurts,
mm-hmm.
and then you touch on both sides of it. You sandwich that area between your hands, and we run the energy. And as I said before with Reiki, there's no attunement, there's no magic symbols, there's no woo whatsoever, and unlike therapeutic touch, we're using breathing and body awareness to raise our vibration higher and higher throughout the session.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see phenomenon that people doing Reiki or therapeutic touch have never observed before, such as the bones spontaneously moving back into alignment and such like this. We're able, in fact, when I was on the road giving endless lectures and workshops, I felt like the guy selling the cheap suits because I'd say, I guarantee it. And I'd say that before lunch break, on the first day of a workshop, you're going to be able to see bones moving back into alignment under your hands or your money back.
Mm-hmm.
Before lunch break,
mm-hmm.
we just give it to people right away. Because this is innate human ability that's been lost, forgotten, or perhaps rediscovered or unknown. I don't know. But it's right there available for people to access
mm-hmm.
now.
I think it's interesting that you ask the client where they hurt and you deal with that area, because so often where the pain is not where the problem is, for example.
I know. But here's the deal. What we see is we also have a corollary to the where does it hurt technique is to chase the pain or sensation. So
mm-hmm.
for instance, somebody has a migraine
mm-hmm.
and then practitioner works on the head where it hurts. And then they say, well, now I feel it in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the throat
mm-hmm.
and then they say, well, now I feel it in the liver gallbladder area. So now they're working there and then the headache is gone. But we don't have to be smart enough to know that that headache was a liver gallbladder problem expressing
mm-hmm.
itself, because the body intelligence will direct the practitioner to that spot. And a 9-year-old
mm-hmm.
could have done that session without having to know it. And one woman in that particular class where that session took place said, I'm an acupuncturist and I know why migraines could be liver gallbladder, but how wonderful that you don't even have to have all that training to
mm-hmm.
to figure it out yourself.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Then I assume from all you have said, but I'm going to ask the question anyhow, are there peer-reviewed research on quantum touch?
Yes. Yeah. We just had a study published in Energy Psychology Journal that I described a little earlier on the pain on people with high levels of pain. And we're looking to do a whole lot more research. I'm looking to do research with CT scans to show that it's actually causing the structural alignment that I've been observing for decades, and also to see if it's helping people with hip and lower back problems and migraines. So we're going to be doing that. And then I'm also planning to do a research soon with C. elegans. These are the little roundworms they use for longevity research, and see if I can extend the lifespan of the C. elegans. And then there's some more research I'm looking to do in Australia next year where, well, I'll describe that another time. It's very exciting, but I'll leave it till later. It would be such a breakthrough if that one happened.
Then can you tell us the process that you kind of go through? You said that you ask where they're feeling.
Yeah. What we do is if the listeners are not driving a heavy vehicle or something, if you hold up a finger and you put all your awareness in your finger and try to feel the skin without touching it and breathe into the finger and then see if you can feel how the fingernail attaches to your finger and see if you can feel the blood pulsing through the finger. Maybe you can feel the tendons and the bones inside your finger. And if you keep breathing and feeling your finger, maybe you can imagine you're stroking your finger with a feather and see what part of the finger you're touching with that feather and see if you can bring more sensation to that finger by putting all that awareness into your finger. Now, when you do that, about 80 or 90% of the people say their finger is tingling, vibrating, pulsing, some kind of sensation. And that's what we learn to do throughout our entire body. Mm-hmm. We learn to move awareness, creating sensation in our body. And people who can't feel sensation, they can still do the work, but it's a little more challenging. So we move that awareness in waves through our body, and we always link it with the breathing. Some people say quantum touch is all about the breathing. No, it's about all about the breathing with the body awareness, with the intention, the love, gratitude, the desire to assist and help. That's what quantum touch is. And that's how we raise our vibration and keep ourselves from entraining or coming down to what the other person's energy is.
And can this be done at a distance?
Yeah. You see, once I came up with what we call the level two quantum touch, where I meditate on somebody's sphenoid bone and I'll cause the alignment, you realize there is no such thing as distance, that it's part of the illusion of the physical reality that we are separated from one another. And because we can work as easily on somebody on the opposite side of the world as we can if they're sitting right next to us, it has a lot of implications. It suggests that we live in a spiritual reality. It shows that the mind is not confined to the brain, that we really don't know the limits of what's possible. Clearly, quantum theory is incomplete. Our intention really matters. The universe understands our intention and corrects for our mistake. That matter seems to be able to hold energy and intention, which suggests that panpsychism could be the reality, and that our mind and our love has a physiological impact on other people, and we could potentially use all this for accelerating healing and as an anti-aging modality that I've been exploring at great length. These are some of the implications of the fact that we can do distant healing, that everything points to us living in a spiritual reality. Can't absolutely prove it, but it's very strong implication from many different points of view.
Richard, you say that you can create original symbols that can impart healing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. In my Quantum Touch 2.0 book, I played, before I knew what I know now, I was experimenting with symbols, and one friend said, "Oh, you're working with icons or sigils." Mm-hmm. So the first time I succeeded at doing this, I created a little symbol that represented simultaneously aligning the hips and the cranial bone. This is before I knew about working on the sphenoid behind the nose and eyes. And I created this symbol. that meant it to me. And then a friend of mine was standing beside me, and I measured his hips and measured his octopus, and he was way out by a mile. So I looked away from him, and I imagined the symbol floating in the air, and I sent energy to the symbol, and instantly he was aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really simple test, and we've backed it up many times, but you can create a simple symbol, or a complex one if you like, that represents anything, and then send energy to it. So it adds a completely new dimension to law of attraction and manifestation technique.
Then you also say that you can work with multiple conditions or multiple people at the same time. I think that this was part of the pennies that you were talking about.
Actually, this is a little different.
Oh, is it
because
different? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, for instance, when I was at the University of Hong Kong and the University of Macau, I had an entire stage full of people, and also at the Smart Life Forum in Silicon Valley. And what I did was I had 20 to 100 people at a time, and I would just group them together in my mind. And then I created an iconic person that represented the entire group in my mind. And then I do the session on the iconic person in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole group mm-hmm. gets aligned simultaneously. And so, yes, you could work on multiple conditions by creating an icon that represents the multiple conditions and running energy into the icon.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of entanglement, I did an experiment at the University of Hong Kong and Macau on my last trip to China. And what I did was, since I understood conscious entanglement, I had everybody on stage, about 20, 25 people, all holding hands. And the reason for this is once they were touching each other, they knew they were connected with each other. So I didn't have to do anything to entangle them. Then I pulled out a pendant, charged pendant, holding the energy. And just as a woman at the beginning of the line, I just pressed the pendant, like flicked it across a few of her hairs, just flip, like that. And the whole group of people were spontaneously aligned mm-hmm. at once, because they entangled each other. And all I had to do was just touch her, and the whole group became aligned.
Great.
A few years before, I had to do it I did it out loud. I said, okay, I'm looking at everybody, and now I'm closing my eyes, and I'm joining you all together as one iconic person. And now that you're all joined, now I'm going to meditate on the sphenoid bone. And I'm doing that now, and I'm going to give it a little turn. And that was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just flick my pendant across a few hairs, and it's done. And I don't even have to think about it.
Great. And then lastly, before we talk about other things, how do you know that death is not the end of consciousness?
It's very simple. I don't know it, but I have strong reasons to believe it. It's so.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways is by doing these experiments. If the mind is not confined to the brain, if you can do distant healing, then the mind is not confined to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the death of the brain does not necessarily mean the death of the mind. Another way of knowing, were from my experiences with high levels of psilocybin mushrooms, and I had direct experiences that I've had many lifetimes, and
mm-hmm.
that the universe is fundamentally made of love, and my receptacle to receive it is like a shot glass compared to Niagara Falls. And that was something I can't communicate to anybody else because it was a direct experience, but that and many other things all suggest to me that we live in a spiritual reality.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting, Richard, that there are things that we can't explain to other people, that you almost have to experience it? It's like... I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to my mother, and she said, well, what's it like taking, you know, mushrooms? And I said, well, imagine you've never seen fireworks, and I can't use any words, and all I have is a gray crayon and an old piece of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to describe a fireworks, the most amazing fireworks display with a gray crayon and cardboard. And you can't even begin to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the difference between trying to talk about it and being in the experience. It's the most vivid, intense experience. It's not for everybody. I'm not recommending it. But if you study it, research it, and feel inspired, you can explore that arena. But I found those experiences some of the most valuable of my life.
Mm-hmm. One of the experiences I had, that you cannot explain it. You know, you have to experience mm-hmm. it. I finished my doctorate in 69, and I went to Duke, and they gave me a semester to develop a class I was going to teach the second semester. Well, I had also discovered Edgar Cayce at the time, and so I was doing a lot of meditating and a lot of reading and all. And one night, I'm meditating, and I all of a sudden was having an out-of-body experience. And I was so anxious because I thought, I felt like I was disappearing into everything and I would no longer exist. And I jumped up out of the chair, but to try to explain. And then the next night I had the same experience again. I almost stopped meditating as a result of it because I wasn't ready for that. And to try to explain that to the people that were in my Search God group, the Cayce group, I mean, they didn't understand it because they had experienced that. And it's not something you can't experience. You can't explain the depth of the feelings that you have when something like that happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there are things that you just can't explain and people have to experience it for themselves. Now, is there things that you would like to say before we look at your books and any products and your services and how listeners can reach you?
Well, we'll wrap it up after I explain the books and services.
Oh, okay, great. Good. Then if you tell us about the books and services and...
I've written four books. First was Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience, and that book was a bestseller throughout the 1980s. Still really valuable. It's just how to do a quantum touch session. And then I graduated to what I'll call, we call quantum touch, which is just extraordinary ability for ordinary people to raise their vibration. And we have quantum touch classes around the world. We have practitioners in over 50 countries around the world. I think our website's in 8 languages now. It's quantumtouch.com. We have the practitioners available to give sessions and instructors around the world giving workshops. My third book was Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human, outlining a series of new human abilities, including the ability to share gifts directly with one another, or a way to use energy to help shift core beliefs. And so there's a whole lot of new skills and abilities we didn't even know we had, or even healing the past. There's ways of working with energy to do many kinds of things that completely surprised me. My fourth book came out recently. It's called The Secret Nature of Matter, and I didn't hold anything back in this book. I talked about a lot of experiences that I never wanted to talk about before because I was afraid of losing credibility, but I don't care anymore. I'll just let it all out and let people judge me if they want to. I don't care. These are basic human skills and 57 tests that people can do themselves that don't cost anything to explore the intersection of matter and consciousness. And I'm hoping that others will carry this ball, do the extensive research that I've opened the door to, and find out what's really true and bring it into all the universities and hospitals in the world and classrooms where people can study it. And so the website has resources, and we have a new editor and making beautiful newsletters for Quantum Touch now, so you can get on our mailing list and just learn about all kinds of wonderful things and stories that people have available. We also have a Quantum Touch pendant that people can purchase. And when you get yours, you should put your deepest love, gratitude, connection to source, healing energy, whatever you have access to, into the pendant. And that will be shared by the entire community of about 5,000 holders of pendants. So these actually become stronger every single day. Mm-hmm. And people are using it, and it doesn't exactly take place in Quantum Touch session, but sometimes it's all they need for extraordinary healing. I was at a retreat, and one guy held two pendants up on both sides of his sinus. Says he hadn't breathed through his right sinus in about 15 years, and in 5 minutes he was breathing through the right sinus. Mm. We don't even know where this goes. There's just so much possibility here. Mm-hmm. So people can learn the basic quantum touch by watching a video from our website. They can take a class from an instructor, or they can just read the book, because I don't hold anything back in any of my books. Mm-hmm. I just tell the truth and let people learn immediately what's true. So there it is. Those are the resources.
Are you available to people, or is yours all research?
Mine is research, exploration, and education. I have stopped doing sessions because people somehow naturally believe that I had some kind of special ability, and that's just the furthest thing from the truth. Everybody can do this. And if I was teaching a lot of classes, people would wait till I showed up. instead of taking it from the other instructors.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, all right, I'm just not going to teach very often and let the other instructors and practitioners mm-hmm. make a name for themselves. And they're doing a great job of it. We have hundreds of people teaching classes around the world and thousands mm-hmm. of practitioners working successfully. And I don't want people to put it on me. The Wright brothers weren't the best pilot.
Right.
And I'm more like the mm-hmm. Wright brothers than a great pilot. I'm pretty good. I'm competent. But I wouldn't say that my work is extraordinary because I'm hearing these and better stories from other people too. I'm more of the pathfinder than the mm-hmm. than the race car driver.
I think it's great that you're teaching other people. I interviewed Dr. Dale Bredesen about a mm-hmm. month ago, and he has researched Alzheimer's, and he's worked on that for years, and he's discovered there's three types. Each one has different symptoms. Each one has different treatments. But he also has taught, I think it was 600 people, physicians around the country mm-hmm. to use his protocol, which I think is a wonderful way to spread the word on something that is successful, is, you know, doing your research, then teaching other people and letting them do it, because education is good, but it doesn't really get it out there where the patients or the clients have access to it as quickly, I don't think, as this practice of teaching people that go out and use it in practice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. So is there anything else you'd like to say, Richard? It's been fantastic having you.
Yeah. I would just like to remind people that whoever hurt you the most in your life always made you feel like your love wasn't valuable, that it didn't have any impact or it didn't matter. But what we noticed with the energy work is that your love really has tremendous impact, and it truly matters and is incredibly valuable. And that if you choose to learn how to focus, amplify, and send your love, you can really make a huge difference. And it's one of the most satisfying things to do, is to alleviate the suffering of others.
Great. Well, I appreciate this so much, Richard. It's been very interesting and will be helpful to people that are in need of healing. And I have your book. I haven't gotten to them yet, but I'll have a few days over Christmas and hopefully I can read
fantastic.
Them. Great. So appreciate this again. Thank you.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine, who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O. Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O. Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O. Helvey, your host.